All right, welcome in. Minor Talk is live, along with my partner in crime on Minor Talk, Sal Montes. I'm Adrian Broaddus, and yes, we get a chance to talk to you after a UTEP victory. They shocked me. They shocked a lot of people out there. They did it on national television. They did it in front of 4,000-plus fans, which was a great turnout here for El Paso, 83-80. And, you know, let's quickly talk about the fans. I mean, this team gave them really no reason to show up, but the Miners showed up in this, or a lot of the UTEP fans showed up in this one in a big way. The $9.15 tickets are a controversial topic for some season ticket holders, but for a lot of the families out there who got a chance to watch this one tonight and to be out there at the Haskins Center, they benefited. I mean, they got a chance to see an absolute thriller, an overtime game. Miners defeat Middle Tennessee 83-80. And, you know, I think back to even when I was growing up or when I was watching UTEP hoops, I wouldn't be able to, or we wouldn't be able to go all the time, but on special nights, special occasions, especially when they have discounted tickets like they did tonight, these are the nights when you get a chance to go, of course, go and bring your family out there. So I was walking through the concourse, I got a chance to watch this one right here and got a chance to see all the families out there, and I thought that was a really cool sign. So I'm taking more of the positives tonight from the ticket sales and all the people who showed up at the Haskins Center. And then the next thing, here's the next point I want to bring up, is that when I was talking to somebody over this week, first off, Sal, it's easy for a lot of people to get very negative about this UTEP basketball program. 4-10 going into this game, 0-3 in conference play, 3 straight games of losing by 10 or more points. Like, easy to get down on this UTEP men's basketball team, right? But I was talking to somebody this week who said, wow, and this is somebody within the program, and I'm usually pretty careful about what I say when people tell us these kind of things in confidence, and certain things are okay for us to share, certain things we're not allowed to share. But for this one right here, I got to share this story that I was talking to somebody around the team, and they were saying, look, like, despite the adversity, despite everything that's going on, this is one of the most fun seasons that this coaching staff, that these people around have experienced, even the players themselves have experienced with a team. And I was like, wait a second, how could you say this? They're a 4-10 team. They're a team that has struggled, has hit a lot of adversity, a lot of injuries on their way. How could you say that you're kind of having fun, or how can you say that this team is having, you know, this kind of excitement? And they said there's a buy-in with this group right here that, you know, that maybe the other teams in years past under head coach Joe Golding never really had. And the buy-in with this team is, yeah, of course, maybe they're not as talented, they're not hitting the shots that they should be, they don't really have an identity on both sides of the ball. Like, those things are all real, but they're coachable guys. They're guys who get along with each other, guys who've developed cohesion. And I guess you don't see that on the court as much because it's not the on-court chemistry, but it's a group of guys who truly believe like they're a band of brothers. And at this point in the season, that's exactly what you need to try to turn things around. I don't think that this game can necessarily catapult them back into like a winning streak on their side of things, but it's a good sign, man. They were down to 10 guys, they were without 4 different players, including difference makers like Caleb Blackwell. They were turning to Trey Horton for a lot of these minutes off the bench or even starting efforts, and he wasn't a go tonight. Instead, they turned to guys tonight like L.A. Hayes, who puts up a double-double. Look at the big three tonight. Kasim Watson, 23 points. Elijah Jones, 20 points, and Jamal West Jr., 16 points. So, Sal, I'll take mostly positives from this one, knowing that the Miners get a victory tonight. Much-needed win here for UTEP in overtime, eking out the victory.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about this through text and when you got here, but it didn't feel like the other ones. And there's no disrespect to the other wins, but this one didn't feel fluky in a sense, right? There wasn't like, if this thing happens, if that thing happens. No, they were able to hit majority of their free throws. Now, granted, the percentage is, it's right around there, right? That's where you want to be, a respectable hovering 70% team, possibly better. But, I mean, it's easy to say that when you have 36 free throws, right? Let's put that out there. However, they made the ones that counted, and they were just able to seize the opportunity. They were kind of just hanging around, you know, 3 points, and then it balloons back up to 9 or whatever the case was multiple times. But despite all of that, Adrian, they were able to come together when it mattered the most, the final 2 minutes. Oh my goodness. Roller coaster, but you love it at the end.
think about this. Think about the fact that UTEP basketball was down 30-17, and it was just the uh-oh, here we go again. Zay, give me your takeaways, because I think it was so easy. I think it's also so funny that when you're the most down on UTEP in any sport, it doesn't matter if it's basketball, football, whatever, you're the most down on them, you think they're down, dead in the water, whatever, they come back and they surprise you a bit. And that's what happened tonight.
Yep, and there was a couple of points where I was like, okay, you know, UTEP fought. They did what they usually do. They kept it close. But that's it, right? They're going to, you know, kind of just sit down, let Middle Tennessee run away with it. I mean, they were down 9 with about 6 minutes left. And at that point, I was like, yeah, it's over, right? It was a fun little ride. It was nice to have the Don Haskins Center roaring again. But something just flipped. Something flipped in those last 6 minutes that hasn't flipped all year. And they looked like a fun team to watch. They battled and they ended up, you know, eking out the win. So it was nice to see. It was nice to see a UTEP win. It was nice to see the Haskins alive again because, it's been a while.
Well, and then you kind of wonder, what was the reason why? Like, how did they do this? How did they make this happen? Because Middle Tennessee still came in and shot 47% from the field. And Middle Tennessee in the first half, you look at what they did from beyond the arc, 50%. They hit 7 3-pointers in the first half. Second half, they locked up defensively. I'm talking about the Miners. And that's where, you know, you only allowed 2 3-pointers by the Blue Raiders. They kept that rebound margin really close, and the Miners ended up winning the rebound margin 38-32. I wonder if it's as simple as L.A. Hayes stepping up and grabbing 10 rebounds for you in the backcourt. And Zay, maybe they found something in that lineup of L.A. Hayes, K.J. Thomas, Elijah Jones, Kasim Watson, and of course Jamal West Jr. What do you think?
Yeah, they might have. And I'm happy to see L.A. Hayes succeed. I've been an L.A. Hayes fan really from the start, right? He didn't really get a lot of minutes, so it was hard to say good things about him, but now he's flourishing. I mean, he goes 1-6 from the field today, and that really didn't matter. Like, you knew he was going to have to be out there in the final waning moments of this game because he was just so impactful in every other asset of the game, and he was aggressive. He got to the rim. 11 free throws shot for LA Hayes. He hits 8 of them. Like, those were huge.
And Sal, I'll ask you this one. I'll ask you what's the more impressive stat for you, okay, out of these three? I'll give you three stats, okay? Middle Tennessee leading for 35 minutes and 30 seconds of this game, and UTEP still finding a way to win. Elijah Jones, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 36 minutes of action, and 3 blocks. Or are you going Kasim Watson, 23 points, 7 rebounds, and in 43 minutes of action tonight? What's the most impressive stat for you?
Oh, my goodness, man. That's a tough one. And it's hard to pick because everybody did so well. But I'm just going to say, I'll say Kasim, man. You desperately needed a sniper out there when Middle Tennessee had their snipers. And UTEP did solid in the second half on three-point defense, mind you. But, no, man, I just think when you get to the 80s, you're going to need somebody who's going to knock down some threes, right?
Right.
Look at the numbers. By a slim margin, it's got to be Kasim.
So you're going Kasim Watson, 915-505-6009. Zay, of all those stats that I just reeled off, I reeled off 2 players and then the lead time of 35 minutes. What stat jumps out to you?
The 35-minute one really, you know, jumps out to me because that's a UTEP. Like, I feel like we see that with UTEP games. You know, UTEP leads for maybe not this year, but in the past. Like, I feel like we've seen that so much where they just crumble down the stretch and a team that, you know, may have only led for 5 minutes ends up winning the game. So it was nice to be on the other end of that watching this game. But, yeah, the Kasim Watson one, back-to-back 20-point performances. I mean, 25 Man. Against FIU, 23 against, you know, here tonight. He's finally living up to that, you know, 19 points a game caliber player that we saw at Delaware State. The 6'8 sniper who can score at all three levels. He's finally living up to that, and it's nice. UTEP has never really had a player that can score at all three levels with his length and his size. He's doing it at a high clip, so he's more consistent now. He's hitting threes. He's hitting a lot more threes. He's probably the best shooter on this team, for being for real.
Yeah.
And overall, he stepped up in a huge way today.
43 minutes. He plays all but 2 minutes of the game in this one right here. And 15 shot attempts. He's 7 for 15 and hits 5 for 8 from beyond the arc. Might not be enough, Zay. You might want even more from Kasim Watson. And he's a selfless player. There was one time he deferred, threw it down low to Jamal West Jr., who ended up getting fouled and going to the free throw line, which was fine. But then I'm like, man, be selfish sometimes, Kasim. Like, somebody needs to tell him on this team, you're the guy, man. I think you're that offensive go-to player with this team. Go out and get your buckets.
Yeah, I mean, when UTEP goes through their droughts, I want to see Kasim Watson taking most of those shots, because I feel like if UTEP is not scoring for, let's say, 3-4 minutes, they're going to default to trying to get it down low to Jamal West Jr. or Elijah Jones. And yeah, it's going to work sometimes, right? But I like Kasim Watson. I feel like he just gives you a higher ceiling offensively. And I'll say this, post-game, everything, Kasim Watson, like, he was happy. Like, this guy, he genuinely looks like he wants to win. And you can say that for a lot of guys, and it could be fake, but I mean, he's out there shaking hand, Elijah Jones shaking hand with the fans. Like, it meant something to him to win this game.
Sal, I said it earlier, but in a weird way, if somebody told you from within this team that this team is like one of their favorite groups out of all the Joe Golden coach squads, what would you say to that? Because it seems like this team is coachable again, like what I was saying. They want to really try. They're trying their asses off. Maybe that's their identity. It's not like I'm trying to, you know, give them an identity of lovable losers, but they're a team that wants to, you know, have some cohesion with each other, play for each other, be pretty selfless in what they do, and try to find some kind of success while doing that.
If you tell me that, I'd say it's hard to believe, you know, just based on the results. But when I try to flip it around and think, okay, why would that happen? And I think the obvious answer would be there's been a lot of adversity, an extreme amount of adversity for the Miners. But despite all that, right, if you can withstand that storm, so to speak, and this could be a step towards, you know, overcoming that, that's even more special, especially when it's like your backs are against the wall. Everybody's saying these things about you. You're just naturally, you should get closer together. And that could be the reason why I see that happening. But I still couldn't believe that, though.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I mean, this is still a team that's 5-10. This is still a team that's 1-3 in Conference USA. While we're sounding excited, while we're sounding a little bit more optimistic, just know where we really stand, all three of us, right? I mean, this team is coming off a 3-game stretch in which they lost by 10 or more points, including a 24-point loss to Missouri State. So a win against Middle Tennessee is a step forward, but just know that they've already taken like 10 steps back. So they're just trying to get to the better place, or to a better place right now. And maybe even if they reel off some wins, maybe even if they protect home floor in Conference USA, that could be enough to at least give them some more momentum going into the months that matter, February and March. And, you know, if you wanted to talk yourself into this team, you're just going to say, again, this is a one-bid league in Conference USA. Doesn't matter too much about the regular season. You just got to get hot at the right time. And, again, there's a long way to go until getting to that point. By the way, you know, Saturday, once that rolls around, they got a tough team in Western Kentucky coming in to town on a quick turnaround. We talked about the Miners being without certain players in this matchup right here. Even if they get back Caleb Blackwell, they're going to need a lot more firepower going into that one, or consistent firepower, and translate that from the Middle Tennessee game here tonight to that big game coming up on Saturday. And if you were able to string along back-to-back wins, man, how low the bar is when you're happy about back-to-back Division I wins. But if you're able to string along back-to-back wins right here, I mean, that bodes well for the Miners moving forward. It doesn't mean that they've turned things around. It doesn't mean that they're the best team in Conference USA. Look, they're still the last team in this league, but this is a big win, knowing that all the odds, Sal, were stacked against the Miners considerably in this matchup.
Yeah, no, they definitely were, and it's a step in the right direction for them for sure. However, I know we talk about CUSA one bid league. It's watered down, which I do believe it really is watered down. Despite all of that, though, throughout any point in the Conference USA season, that Middle Tennessee Western Kentucky stretch is one of the tougher stretches for everybody in the conference. So if you split that, it's considered a success. I'm not saying stop the count now, right? You definitely want to see what you could do against Western Kentucky in that second leg of that Middle and Western type of deal. But man, it's promising. Western Kentucky got blasted in the first half and just couldn't look back. The Aggies won 80-64, though.
Interesting.
So, I mean, yeah, they're going to be hungry. It's easy to say that cliche, but also 2-2 in Conference USA, so it's not impressive form. even to Western Kentucky standards.
I don't want to give you guys this stat, but I have to. Before we get to the phone lines, 915-505-6009. By the way, Minor Talk brought to you by Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor here on Minor Talk. Big shout out to Jack in the Box. Open 365 24/7 here in El Paso and even in Las Cruces, because at Jack in the Box, cravings don't have a curfew. Man, if it's me going late night tonight at Jack in the Box, you know I'm getting some late night breakfast. You know, I'm already starting breakfast on here. So we're going to be out here late night here for Minor Talk. If you want some late night munchies, check out Jack in the Box, your nearest location, even the one right here by the station. So shout out to Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor here on Minor Talk. I do have to give you guys a stat. I know you guys aren't going to like this because it sounds like we're just being, we're just talking about Conference USA over and over and over and trying to give excuses in this conference. But here we go. Out of all the teams, there is a stat that is one that we've tracked over the recent years called home win percentage. How many times do the home teams in Conference USA win in this league? Out of right now, out of all the conferences, by the way, there are 31 conferences in college basketball. Out of all the conferences right now, Conference USA is number one in home win percentage. 20 of the 24 home teams so far this season in Conference USA play have won games. So there you go, Sal. Number one in conference, number one across all the conferences. That's a conference of champions, aka the worst geographical conference in America, Conference USA.
Oh, man. This is why I love CFB 26. Because you can put teams back where they belong, man. I don't know about you, but I'm putting Texas back in the Big 12 every chance that I get with Oklahoma. So if that's just a piece of the rearranging I do. Zay has seen the customized conferences I do. Oh, man, it's disgusting. This should not take an hour and a half, by the way.
Zay, home win percentage is that good in Conference USA. So the home teams are winning in a considerable fashion.
I have something to say, and it's an extremely hot take, but UTEP football belongs in the Mountain West. UTEP basketball low-key belongs in Conference USA. Like, I'm going to miss playing Middle Tennessee. I'm going to miss playing Western Kentucky. Louisiana Tech, they're not in Conference USA, and they're leaving too. But, man, like, especially the old conference, UTSA, North Tech, that, oh, my goodness.
You want to play at a high school gym in San Antonio? Come on.
Yes, the Convocation Center in San Antonio, the Super Pit in, you know, Denton, Texas, whatever it is.
The super pit is in Albuquerque. The real pit that I know is in Albuquerque.
The snake pit, yeah, I got you.
The real pit that I know is in Albuquerque, and it's in the Mountain West Plus, as Sal Montes calls it. There's no way I'm going to take this blasphemy on this show, Zay.
I had to do it.
There's no way that I want UTEP back in CUSA, but you know what we could do? We can be excited because we can at least give some flowers over to Middle Tennessee, who's given UTEP some really good games. Three of the last four games have been in overtime games. How about that? And those three games going into this one were decided by a combined 10 points. You add in tonight's game, the last four games between UTEP and Middle Tennessee have been decided by a combined 14 points. So there you go. Been some close matchups between the Miners and the Blue Raiders. And that's where we kick off the show here tonight. 915-505-6009. Let's get to the phone lines right now. Enrique is going to join us. Then Tito's on the lines with us as well. But we'll go to Enrique first and then Tito. 915-505-6009. Enrique, good evening, my man. What's going on?
Hey, good evening. Before we get on my call real quick, I just got a quick question for you guys in the station.
Tell me.
How about them Miners? How about them Miners?
Oh, Enrique. I knew you were going somewhere. Very positive. Go ahead, Enrique. Your thoughts on this one right here.
Oh, man. I was just... Like how they said, we're down 9 points, we're missing free throws, and that's been our ailment. But actually, I was thinking about the drive home is what's been our continuous ailment throughout the entire basketball season was our saving grace today. Who would have thought our UTEP squad would have won the game with free throws at the end of the game?
I mean, especially if you reflect back on some of these previous games where the Miners were abysmal from the charity stripe. So, yeah, to your point, you're right. I mean, Miners are 25 for 36. And by the way, 36 free throw attempts, a lot more than UTEP's seen over the last couple games, too. I mean, they have not gotten their share of calls or gotten to the free throw line as much as their opponents as of late. So 36 free throw attempts for the Miners, I'll take it any day of the week.
Yeah, it was a very good physical, good game. I'm going to leave off with something, a little story I want to give you guys, and I'll get off the line because I know you got to get your other callers. But I had a very positive experience in Thanksgiving. I was out at Dallas for the Dallas Thanksgiving game, and I was at the Gaylord Texan, and I actually ran into KJ's dad. I was wearing my UTEP sweater, getting ready for their ice sculptures, and he comes up to us and says, "Hey, UTEP, El Paso?" I was like, "Yeah, it's my school. I graduated. My son goes there. He plays. KJ." So we just struck up a conversation, and ever since then, since I've been going to the games, I'm a season holder. He always stops by. He always says hi. He's been a great addition to this UTEP family. KJ's been a great addition. We've been very blessed to have these guys, and they look happy. They sound happy. They look happy to be here. So I just want to leave off with that.
Okay, good stuff, man. Appreciate you, Enrique. Thanks for the phone call, 915-505-6009. Okay, Zay, I'm going to give you a serum that makes you forget about David Terrell Jr., okay? You forgot about him completely, right? Okay, in this scenario. KJ Thomas comes to UTEP from Amarillo, and he comes here as a highly touted Texas high school prospect with all the caveats, right? The asterisks are there, right? Because he's a bit undersized. He came in, he needs some muscle behind him and all that kind of stuff. And as a true freshman, he saw some action. He saw some on-court action. And you thought, okay, well, what could he truly be? He was like this point guard, obviously, who brought the ball down the court and didn't really have a shot yet last year as a true freshman. Didn't really have a total offensive game just yet. Would drive to the basket, try to go up in layups. And, you know, I've heard a lot of criticism on him on this show. And I was talking to somebody over this past week, and I was just wondering, are we being too hard on a second-year guy, a sophomore player, and KJ Thomas, who is playing a bigger role than he thought he would at this point? 41 minutes tonight, 11 points, 3 for 6 from the field. He had 4 assists to 3 turnovers. He had 5 rebounds, filling up the stat sheet. In this one, he was plus 11 when it was all said and done. My question to you is, Zay, are we being too hard on KJ Thomas just right? Just fair enough, or are we being just right when it comes to evaluating his game overall? And could you talk yourself into KJ Thomas?
Yeah, I think that if you gave me that serum, well, David Terrell can never be forgotten. But in this big hypothetical that we do forget about one of the best players on that team last year, best point guard, KJ Thomas. Yeah, we might be a little bit too hard on him because, I mean, you saw what David Terrell did. He came in right away. He affected the game in different ways. He was able to bring up the ball. He was able to, really go out there and be one of the better players on his team. And KJ Thomas is a little bit slower of development. He's a much different player from David Terrell. He's, like you said, he's more undersized, more of a true point guard, you want to say. So, yeah, I think we have been a little bit more hard on him. But at the same time, once Caleb Blackwell comes back, is he going to kind of fade back into 20 minutes a game? Maybe a bucket or two, maybe a couple of assists. Like, he needs to find ways to affect the game more off the bench. Or when Caleb Blackwell, Tyrese Watson, like, he's playing behind two really good guys. Got his opportunity tonight. Did pretty well in it. Like you said, 11 points, I think 3-4 assists for him. He needs to be more consistent, and once those guys come back, he needs to find a way to make himself needed.
Sal, here's my Kasim Watson question for you, because Slim Reaper, right, he kind of reminds you of the KD swagger of what he's able to do. 23 points, 7 rebounds, 43 minutes of action. If Kasim Watson was on last year's team, think about that starting five from last year. Okay, I'll give it to you. You do David Terrell Jr., you go Corey Camper Jr., you go Kasim Watson at the 3, you go Kevin Kalu at the 5. Who am I missing, Zay? Anybody I'm missing in this conversation from last year's squad? Come on. This is terrible. Otis, what am I saying? Come on. Otis Frazier alongside them. Thank you. So David Terrell Jr., Corey Camper, Kasim Watson, Otis Frazier, and Kevin Kalu. That team last year went 18-15. Could they be a 20-plus win squad with Kasim Watson? Does he give them at least 2 more wins from last year's team if he was on last year's squad?
Oh, man, that's hard. I'm looking at the schedule last year trying to see. I think so.
I emphatically say yes. I don't think they'd go on a losing streak if they had Kasim Watson. I think they needed a Kasim Watson on last year's team. He's like a bigger Corey Kamper Jr., and he allows you to space the floor.
I'll give you three games I think he makes a difference in. One is the team he played today. That's Middle Tennessee. If he would have helped out, game doesn't go to overtime, or maybe they win in overtime, or maybe they're able to stuff that play that got them the win near the end. Sam Houston, they lost by two. And I'll give you the upset over Louisville.
Okay. Oh, man, that's hilarious. I'll go that's three. Hilarious. I love it. Zay, give me your thoughts on this one.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, they get to 20. I forgot about that. They really could have won that game.
They were only 3 points down. Yeah, it's true.
Maybe Kasim Watson hits a three there. But, yeah, I think they probably get to 20 wins. Maybe in 21 if I'm feeling a little frisky there. I mean, down the stretch, some of those losses down the stretch, like, they definitely could have won. Like the Sam Houston one. There's so many. There's so many. So yeah, I'll go with yes.
Okay. I think maybe we're even undervaluing a guy like Kasim Watson. Maybe they are as well. Like he's a pretty go-to scorer, and he's somebody who's really stood out in a big way. So there we go. 915-505-6009. Back to the phone lines we go. This man called us during sports talk. He was hyped about this basketball team and was hoping for a big victory. He called it earlier today, and it was a minor victory here in this matchup. Tito, welcome back to the program, man. Thanks for calling in. It was a twofer for you today. Called in during sports talk and then here on Minor Talk. Welcome aboard, man.
Hey, man, just wanted to thank y'all for letting me be part of the radio show again. Hey, Zay, I follow you on Instagram, man. You're doing a great job on Instagram, man. Keep doing what you're doing, man. I love your content, brother. But just having this kind of optimism is what this program needs. Like what you guys were talking about, the positivity that these guys have, that Joe Gooding, this is his favorite team that he's had since he's been here at UTEP. This is the kind of team that we have potential, like, to potentially make a run. Now, obviously, like what you guys were talking about, y'all make great points. We have to be realistic about, okay, we have Western Kentucky coming up, and then we have the rest of the Conference USA schedule coming up, right? But in my eyes, at least one of the reasons why I think we won when I was there at the game is ganas. Like the bench, they were energized. The coaching staff, they were energized. The fans that showed up with this great promotion that UTEP administration put out. The ganas that we had the will to win, is I think one of the reasons why, along with preparation, why we beat a very good Middle Tennessee State team today, So, again, great job on these guys. They have so much potential. And then who knows? I mean, there's plenty of ball games left in the conference league for January, February, and March. And you never know. We'll see. But obviously, Western Kentucky, like you guys were talking about, a very good basketball team, though they did lose to New Mexico State today. We're going to have to prepare well with that. But, hey, you never know, guys. You just never know.
All right.
We can do anything, man.
All right, Tito, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. Just quick correction. Golding never said on the record or anything like that this is his favorite team. But I will say that I've heard from within the locker room, certain people are like, hey, this is one of my favorite years ever being here, as a staffer or as somebody who's a part of the basketball squad. So I could totally see it. I mean, with this squad, if you go with a coachable squad, despite the results, if you have a team who can really buy in and fit the culture and try to, work their tails off to try to be better than what they currently are. I mean, that's a cool thing. And also a team that's not going to, in the face of adversity, quit. A team that's going to completely separate themselves in the locker room. And that was kind of, Zay, that was kind of like the big motto, even in the pre-practice interviews when we got a chance to talk to some of the guys like CJ Smith or Kasim Watson. Everybody kept maintaining that this team is really together despite the adversity. Like, you put this losing spell, a 4-10 record on any of the teams in the Joe Gooding era, that those teams, I don't know if they're mentally tough enough to like push through that adversity. Like, I don't know if that losing adversity would break them or if it might have broken some previous teams, unlike this year's squad.
Yeah, it definitely has broken some previous teams, and we'll see. This is a step in the right direction, but we talked about it earlier. This is one win, right? They're still 5-10. They're still, the jury's still out. It still could break them, right? This could be maybe a fluke win. Hopefully it's not for them, right? This is back-to-back home wins. This is where you can say, okay, we're turning the corner, right? You're riding the ship. And it's hard to do that when, you've struggled this bad, but the whole 915 thing, getting, fans in the stands, pretty sure that means something to see, you know, the fans up and alive to hear that around you. So you got to win Saturday, right? If you really want to hang your hat on this win, say this is the turning point, you got to win Saturday, and you got to find a way to split this next road trip.
Okay, let's go to Twitter next. A lot of comments to get to, and our telephone number, 915-505-6009. UTEP repost guy, that's terrible, Adrian. Get real. Give up the mic if you're going to make it seem like 1,500 fans is good. I didn't think it was 1,500 fans. And by the way, people who were watching on CBS Sports Network were texting me that the crowd sounded good. So for the Miners, to have a decent crowd. Okay, look, the bar is low, right? But to have a decent crowd here for a Thursday game on a weeknight when the Miners were 4-10 going into this game, I'll take it, Sal. You know, I think a lot of people can complain about a lot of different things within this basketball team and this fan base and this basketball program, whatever you want to say. But having, 4,000 and change, it's fans who don't typically go to the game. It wasn't your season ticket holders. It was the casual fans who were out there tonight. I'll take it, for you to basketball.
Yeah, because going into this game, barring any type of amazing promotion, which was awesome that they did, there's no way you expect 4,000 fans. There's no way the team deserved 4,000 fans after previous performances.
Sure.
So, nah, man, anything you can to get butts in the seats, it's huge. And then when you can win, that makes it so much easier. Like, the vibes are pretty good from the show. I don't know about you guys, but
yes.
I'm not. There's no doom and gloom over here for me. Like, it's a good night.
Manny David checks in. Best game UTEP men's basketball has played all season and against second place Middle Tennessee. Hopefully they can build off this. Glad I was there in person tonight with my lucky number 10 jersey. Win or lose, I'll be in the Don the rest of the way. Go Miners. Hashtag Miner Talk. Tristan Pence, congrats to the Miners on a hard-fought win. KJ Thomas and L.A. Hayes both came up big. With Caleb Blackwell returning to the lineup Saturday, the Miners have a shot of stringing a couple wins together. Hashtag Miner Talk. David Corral Jr., gutsy win, and I hope they can build upon this. UTEP Mineto, Coach Joe Golding, never ever give up. Roland Bear, also from the 915. UTEP actually won? Poncho, great game. Everyone stepped up and contributed to the win. They played tough. What if they would have played like this since the beginning of the season? They still need to work on free throws. Hashtag Miner Talk. Solozo, I've been to the Haskins Center. When UTEP has a good team, that place is a heck of a good home court advantage. Ice Cubillo, Cesar Cubillos, our pal. I was blessed to be at almost every UTEP basketball game for many years with UTEP cheer in the late 90s. This game was a throwback to the gutsy wins of those days. Middle Tennessee is clearly a good team, so it's great to see UTEP keep pushing. El Paso Visuals Deportivos. Wow. UTEP men's basketball just beat a team that was undefeated in CUSA play. This is why you don't cry and pout and demand for people to be fired after a few games. It's a long season, and the only thing that matters is winning the Conference USA tournament and playing well going into the tournament is what helps. Hashtag Miner Talk. Yes, I can. All right. We've heard this point. This is too recycled by you, Deportivos. So this is like a crutch. And I think that we, like, conditioned our listeners, including you, to like go off of this crutch all the time. Hey, whether they're winning or losing, it doesn't matter in the Conference USA tournament. Yeah, but we do this 365, and we've got to watch this team 365, and we're watching these games in January, so we're still going to comment on this team whether or not they look good here in January. And we're still going to comment on this team in February and December and March leading in the conference tournament. So understand this, that let's wrap up Miner Talk right now after 5 minutes. Hey, whatever happens tonight doesn't matter because of the Conference USA tournament. That's when we'll actually do the show, and that's when this actually matters. No, it's just a crutch of an excuse right there. And while it's true, it is true. It's a one-bid league, no doubt about it. You still can't be like a 10th place team who's hoping to run it up and win four games in, 4 days or whatever it is in the Conference USA tournament. That's not realistic.
No, it's not. And also at the same token, right, they won this game, giving them props, giving them credit. But when you lose games, there also has to be something said for it. And when you factor in the number of wins versus the losses, that's where people have their opinions and they come out.
Yeah, I like that in a big way. Hey, by the way, I just got this from our pal Mark. Season high for attendance for UTEP basketball. Zay, there you go.
How about it? I mean, those tickets, $9.15, can't beat it. So again Saturday. You know, you hit your goal of 915 tickets sold, and we'll see. We'll see. I think, you know, the game was on tonight. Ole Miss, Miami was a good game, good ending.
Very good.
You know, some people might have stayed home Saturday afternoon. I think you'll have a shot to maybe beat that.
Ah, Zay, you forget. My Los Angeles Rams and the NFL is competing against the Miners at 2 o'clock. So, I don't know, man. And also 2 o'clock game. That's another thing to say.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say I'm not going to be in the boat who's going to knock UTEP's crowd on Saturday. I'm going to be happy with whatever they get. It's a 2 o'clock game. I'm not a huge fan of afternoon tips for basketball. I believe it's 7 p.m. for men's basketball. And I get it. I get why they're doing it. And by the way, it's just another reason why UTEP's got to get out of this league and got to move over to the Mountain West Plus. The early afternoon games, because it's conducive to the other, you know, the opponent, so they don't have to spend another hotel night, whatever it is, in the town. They're trying to go back early. I get why it is. It's feasible. It makes these trips less than 48 hours, essentially, or less than 72 hours, I should say, for most of these teams. But Zay and Sal, that's one of the reasons why I think we don't need to knock the attendance. I'm not trying to say it's going to be a bad attendance Saturday, but if it's not as good as it was tonight, no need to knock it. It's just is what it is in that case. It's 2 o'clock tip-off on Saturday.
Yeah, I won't be there, sadly. I have to work, so...
There you go. It's a working town. You're a working man. Sal, this is coming in from Pinky. He says, thanks for the cap and tickets tonight. One of the best of the game to see in person.
Wait,
met Mr.
back?
Thomas after the game. Pinky is back. We saw
him
tonight. And he wore the new Minor Talk hat, by the way. And he met Mr. KJ Thomas after the game, who Enrique referenced as well. So Mr. Thomas, a very popular figure here in this Minor Talk edition. So Pinky with the full license plate. He was on the Jumbotron. They showed him. He's rocking the Minor Talk hat, sporting it in a positive way, rocking the full Adidas. So shout out to Pinky. There you go. He's back in action at a UTEP game. UTEP defeats Middle Tennessee 83-80. You want to talk about it with us, 915-505-6009. Western Kentucky's up next. Western Kentucky 9-6. Like Sal said, it was New Mexico State defeating them 80-64. Not really close in that one.
No.
For the Hilltoppers late in that game per Sal. And now Western Kentucky turning the page pretty quickly to take on the Miners. Guys, I mean, you know what? I think we got to play the odds here. I think we just have to say, if Conference USA has this much of a home court advantage, it's on UTEP. Like, tonight, UTEP was something crazy. Like, it opened, I think it closed at something different, because our friend Matt Kaplowitz was telling me it was like 3.5. But in the morning, at least, I saw something like 6 points in favor of Middle Tennessee here for the game tonight. Miners were like plus 240 going into this one right here. This tells you, if you're the home team in Conference USA, put the money on the home team. Like, the win percentage is right there. What do you guys think, though? It's Western Kentucky. Is this too tough of a task to ask UTEP to go back-to-back in this?
I don't think it is, you know? I'd roll with the underdog here. I'd probably roll with UTEP because, you know, they're hot. And I guess winning one game isn't necessarily hot.
They have some momentum.
But yeah, they have some momentum. And if the crowd is... I mean, I feel like the crowd really did affect the game, right? You go on those runs. After you go down 9, you go on that big run. Like, after that, even though it went to OT, I kind of just... I thought UTEP had it in the bag. So yeah, I'd roll with the underdog.
Sal, I'm going to go on the opposite side and say, I thought when they went to OT, Middle Tennessee was going to kill them. Like, I was thinking, yeah, I was like,
man.
Oh, Middle Tennessee 5-point win. Like, I thought UTEP had to do it in regulation. It was L.A. Hayes who took that final shot for UTEP. I thought it was a good look, by the way. It just didn't
Amazing
make
look,
it.
Yeah.
You kind of wonder which guy on this team would make that shot right there. Trey Horton's attempted some shots at the buzzer. Elijah Jones has made a buzzer beater that tied the game against St. Thomas earlier this year and sent it to overtime. But when it went to OT, I thought Middle Tennessee's winning this game.
I don't know, man. I think what solidified it for me for UTEP was when they forced that shot clock violation.
Mm.
Like, I hope I could say this, but like, that's a dumbass violation to have. It really is.
Late in the game by an experienced team like that? Come
exactly.
On,
that shows that the lights were too bright for a team of, year in and year out, Middle Tennessee's caliber in this conference. That's something you just don't do. And when you do that to a team that's still trying to figure things out, that's just going to give all the momentum. And even though the three was missed, it was an amazing look. If it was drawn up that way, cool. If it was an option and you, you know what I mean, you're able to improvise, even better. But just the body language after that and kind of that eagerness to go out there and redeem themselves, I don't know, man. I felt like they were going to get this one.
Yeah, me too. And or actually, I don't. But I every time that, you know, something like this happens, I always think of, you know, what they would be saying on Blue Raider Talk if they had a call-in radio show after.
Shout
I wonder
Jake
what the,
Bolden.
What the Blue Raider fans would be saying right now. You can see it on Twitter. They're obviously not. I mean, think about it there. I mean, you just lost to a 4-10 team. It's only been one Division I opponent. You go to overtime with them. You have opportunities to tie this one. They had a good look in the corner, I think, down three to tie it. Missed it. You talked about the shot clock violation. I mean, lights too bright, man. The lights were too bright for the Blue Raiders.
Hey, come on. Blue Raider Talk is just focusing on the women's basketball team and Rick Ensel defeating the women's basketball squad here tonight. So that's all they were focused on. No, I'm just kidding. Jake Bolden was telling us on the show pregame that they're pretty high on this team right here. And this is a step back, no doubt about it, for Middle Tennessee. And I think for a lot of these teams, they're going to have to roll with this adversity and try to find road wins. And that's going to be a stat that we have to track all season long. Home win percentage, home win advantage for a lot of Conference USA teams, and see which teams actually pull off a road victory this week and which teams suffer more losses. So Liberty, by the way, they're still 4-0. They're going on the road at Sam Houston. They won on the road here tonight. So to speak against teams who can win on the road, that's Liberty right there, who won tonight against Louisiana Tech 72-56, and that was here tonight for the Liberty Flame. So if you want to look at a team who's winning these games on the road, you know, look no further than a team like the Liberty Flames. Hunter checks into the program. I remember the days when Hunter used to call Minor Talk, but I get it. And a lot of our listeners, I get it. Hunter checks into the program. Think we should just enjoy this one. After the last game, we were questioning if they'd win another game. Take this one for what it is. Solid win. We didn't think that they would get. Give credit, and there's some hope. Not much, but some. If they do what they did today, bring the effort, rebound, make free throws, play smart, they'll at least be in games. Didn't sabotage themselves like they've done all season long. That's a good point. I mean, even like simple things like scoring droughts, we didn't see too many of these right there in this contest. So that's a good one right there. And I would say for something like the Miners and a team like this right here, the scoring droughts, the scoring ruts not being there tonight, that's a good sign for them.
I think there's two things. One, that's a lot of things to ask of this team to do night in and night out. We haven't seen them be adept at it all season. Today was one of those days that it really happened, so props there. But then on the other side, too, I think what helped stop those droughts was something they didn't have the last game, and that was fast break. They were able to score in transition today, stop some runs, even start some runs for themselves. So big difference there.
Matthew Castro says, I missed the ending of Ole Miss Miami to watch the ending of UTEP. Worth it. I'll take the win. Go Miners. Good stuff. I like that.
Pass interference. I was watching. After the game ended, I know this is not Ole Miss talk. Oh my gosh, there was a pass.
Somebody had money on Ole Miss over here in this building. Joe Jacone checks in. Been away for a bit. Very happy for the win on a big stage. # Happy New Year's, friends. # Time to turn it around. # My pal Waltzer in the crowd. I don't know what that is. # Happy Friday. I like that, Joe Jacone. Thank you very much. Thanks for chiming in on the program. Hey, big shout out to Thomas Adams Apparel. They are bringing us our brand new Minor Talk hat. So you've seen some of these around. We gave one to Pinky today, gave some to some of the other listeners out there today. I saw Derek out at the Union Draft House here today. So shout out to everybody who stopped by, pick up some of the hats, pick up some of our tickets as well. And we're excited about these. Thanks to our great partners and sponsors here on Minor Talk, Thomas Adams Apparel, who brings us these new Minor Talk hats. So we're going to make sure to have these out released, and we'll give you the latest on how you can get your hands on these. Check out ThomasAdamsApparel.com for all the great custom orders that they can do for you, your business, your team, your sports team, whatever it might be. Or just check out the retail products. It's ThomasAdamsApparel.com here on the program as we continue. 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com, along with Zay and Sal. I'm Adrian. Let's go to Juju19, who's joining us next on the program. What's going on? Good evening. Welcome aboard.
Hey, how you guys doing? Congrats to the Miners today. One thing I wanted to say, that was one of the best coaching games that coach did today since Conference USA last year, and especially without his starters. And my congrats to that. And his coach, keep hanging in there. And he has his mental there with all his team. And it was a good win for the city today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie with you. It is one of the – I'm really happy you pointed that out and gave some credit to head coach Joe Golding, because, you know, even at practice this week, he was going through it, Juju19. Like, you could tell, like, this team has definitely wore on him, and they brought it. I mean, they were bringing a lot of fire to that practice that I was attending as well, no doubt about it. But it must be tough, man, just to go through the kind of season that they're going through this year, the way that they are, and having to maneuver the way that they're doing right now. It must be difficult, but, you know, the way that they were able to salvage a big win here tonight, got to give credit to this coaching staff indeed. So Juju19, I totally am with you on that, and good coaching effort by this squad right here, getting a big win in the biggest way. I mean, they needed a win in the biggest way possible, and they got it here tonight.
Yeah, and hopefully fans come out there on Saturday and support the Miners, you know.
All right, man. I appreciate your phone call. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009. Zay, I think it's pretty fair to say best coached game by head coach Joe Golding here this season.
I agree. You know, he rolled with his punches. L.A. Hayes got hot, left him in for the rest of the game, basically 29 minutes for him. And he said they made some adjustments defensively in the second half. You could tell those worked out pretty good for them. I mean, it's probably one of their better defensive games, and they took care of the basketball. I mean, 9 turnovers probably isn't great for a lot of other teams, but for UTEP, that's above average. It's pretty good. So, all in all, I agree. I think it's probably his best coached game, and foul up three ends up working.
I love it. And hey, shout out Rodney Terry. He would always say foul up three too. So there you go. Guys, I guess, let's just do a quick, I just want to get some quick thoughts on this, especially from you, Sal. Heard Zay's thoughts yesterday on Sports Talk, but a lot of UTEP football news to get to here on the program, and as we wind it up here on Minor Talk and kind of flip this script on this, we'll get to a quick preview on Western Kentucky and our fantasy stats as well here on the program, but before we do that, want to get your thoughts on football. They lose Malachi Nelson to the transfer portal. They lose offensive coordinator Mark Culla to the transfer portal, who ends up at Missouri State. Kind of surprising today. It's Brandon Butcher who's leaving to Campbell, back to the FCS ranks. And Brandon Butcher was the linebackers coach. And, you know, UTEP had great linebackers this past year, by the way, guys. And then also we hear that Shea Smith is going to be flipping it over and going to the linebacker spot. So you take your pick, Sal. Which storyline do you want to hit on, and your reaction for a little UTEP football offseason news?
I think the big story is it's kind of a domino, but this is the last domino. But Shea Smith going to linebacker, right? And that opens up the question, is like, who's going to be the quarterback then? And also, why was Shea Smith playing as a quarterback if he's going to be making that switch to linebacker? That's my main thing, because that lets me know that he wasn't being used properly if the investment was for defense this whole time.
I guess time will tell with this one a little bit more, Zay. But I'm siding with Sal, and I can give you a lot of reasons. But we heard about this rumor maybe about a month ago or so, Shea Smith making the jump over to linebacker. It's interesting that this was the storyline Sal wanted to fixate on, because it's the same one I wanted to fixate on.
We didn't talk about this at all.
Pass rusher, you know, Shea Smith played a little bit of edge, pass rusher, defensive end, whatever you want to say, in the pandemic shortened season for Franklin back in 2020. It's been 6 years since he's played this position, and ever since then he's been there. He's been a quarterback. I would love to hear a little bit more about what went into the decision. Maybe I'd feel a little bit better about it that way. My knee-jerk reaction is I'm just not a fan of it. Like, I wanted him to be more of a Taysom Hill type of role, give him a Swiss Army knife minor back role for Shea Smith, even make him a running back, like your H-back running back. You don't have one. You're going to roll with Cam Thomas next year, maybe as your primary back, and then what? Mix in Shea Smith as your third down back, your big back or something like that, your fullback, your tight end who can line up, opposite of Judah Ezinwa. I'm just not a fan of this yet until I see it on the field and until I see it in spring ball.
Well, I definitely don't like the way they went about it. They gave Shea a lot of reps and,
in critical moments sometimes.
It was confusing to me the way that they presented Shea as the quarterback, quarterback of the future. We're going to use this guy in certain situations, all that, to kind of just give up after 2 years. But I do think in the long run, this is the best move they could have made for both Shea and for Utah.
Linebacker.
I think linebacker.
No other position. There's not a single other position you would have wanted him, rather him be in other than linebacker.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
why? He hasn't played in 6 years. He hasn't played on defense in 6 years. And that was high school, and that was like low level pandemic. That's Mickey Mouse. Come on.
Mickey Mouse got him Texas Tech to offer as a linebacker. He got him SMU to offer as a linebacker. Offers. He had the offers, and he has the athleticism. And who's to say they won't throw him in certain situations as a fullback, as a tight end? I just think that he has the athleticism and size to play linebacker. It really isn't a need. Out of everything that this team needs, linebacker really isn't one, so you can give him to develop, give him time to shake off that rust. I mean, you see quarterback to linebacker a lot more these days. I mean, Texas Tech, Jacob Rodriguez was the best defensive player in the nation. He played quarterback his first year at Virginia. He transferred to Texas Tech, makes the change to linebacker. Like, he already has the smarts of a quarterback. I can sell you on this. I'm really playing the pitch, man, right
here.
You're
doing a good job, too.
He's an athlete. And like I said, he has time to develop. I like this move to linebacker for Shea Smith.
Okay. Zay made me feel a little bit better. Sal, did he make you feel a little better?
So that was a good point about the offers, right? Disneyland or Mickey Mouse brought him all of that. It's like, yeah, cupcakes? Yeah, okay, cool. He's opening up a bakery. How's that? So that's what he did there. But no, man, I like it. I mean, I can understand why, because when Shea Smith was out there, you kind of knew what you were getting. And if you're the defense, that's good for you, pretty much. Like, there's only one or two ways that the thing's going to go. But my favorite thing, though, is the guy I've been championing to be QB1 this whole time. As of now, right, if we stamp it January 8th.
Cade McConnell's not coming to the back. What do you mean?
I'm championing another guy, somebody who I wish would have seen the field a little bit, at least once. It's my QB1, man.
Chad Warner.
Jeff Tracy.
Oh, there he is.
Chad Warner, yeah.
So the quarterback position, I mean, look, like they hosted KJ Cooper this week. They're going to have to just load up the room. Like, that's just what they're going to have to do. And let's say this. Let's say if UTEP throws the bag at somebody. Like, let's say they get a couple of these FCS guys to say yes, throw the bag at somebody. Did you like the Hunter Watson addition to the portal? Is he a Mountain West player for you? I knew you would want to just leave this program, Zay, after I said Hunter Watson, but I'm all in. Give me Hunter Watson on the 2026 UTEP Miners. Zay has to leave after I said that right there.
UTEP will only orange jerseys at that point, too.
Oh, my. No.
Orange and white, no blue.
I mean,
visor. Hunter Watson with the visor. Where's number 10?
The words aren't even coming to me to speak on Hunter. Oh, man. It hurts me to even say the name Hunter Watson. I mean, Sam Houston State, I would say legend, but was he even a legend? Like
10 wins. 10 wins, eh?
We talked about Mickey Mouse. That was the Mickey Mouse right there. Hunter Watson threw the ball 5 yards down the field, scrambled a couple times, and his defense did the rest. No.
What's different than Skylar Locklear?
They both... 2 wins for Skylar, 1 win this year for Hunter.
10 wins for Hunter, 10 wins previous year.
I can't do it. They're the same guy. Hunter Watson is just the real 6 foot. Skylar Locklear, it might say 6 foot on his thing. He's not 6 foot. Hunter Watson is Skylar Locklear with two extra, you know, height. You know, I can't even talk myself into no.
Is there any quarterback you want in the portal right now that you see?
I don't know. Probably not. I mean,
it's not anybody it's kind that they're saturated. Targeting. Yeah, it's kind of a saturated market right now. The guys that they're targeting, it's a lot of FCS guys and D2 guys. So we'll just have to wait and see. And hey, I'll be honest with you, a lot of these D2 guys who made the jump and even FCS guys who kind of made the jump, those were some of the guys who were winning this, like going to bowl games at a Conference USA. So look at guys like Minucci for Delaware and how much success he had. And, you know, look at some of the and also Conference USA is bad examples. So I feel like UNLV, that's the schools that you're going to have to try to compete with. Nevada's of the world, the New Mexico's of the world. And those teams are going to restock, reload in a big way this offseason transfer portal season. So where do the Miners stack up with all of that? That's time will tell with all of this and UTEP football. They got to build the line. They got to get an entirely new offense. They got to hit an entire reset button on a lot of their coaches as well. So there's a little UTEP football talk here for your Miner Talk post-UTEP men's basketball victories, eh? I know we've been itching for some of this conversation.
Sure have. And, you know, for one of the worst offenses in the country this year, they had a couple of ACC guys on there, apparently. You know, Ashton Emery heading to Cal, Wandomi Davis heading to Wake Forest, and no hate to them. I'm calling my shot again. I mean, no. So I don't see either of them really, you know, and they can prove me wrong. I hope they prove me wrong, because I like Wandomi Davis. I like Ashton Emery, but I don't see either of them getting over, you know, 300 scrimmage yards.
Bodie Weaver, is it Bodie Weaver?
Yes.
Who I'm thinking of? Bodie Weaver, Chad Warner, and Davion Singleton, the three quarterbacks on this team's roster. Thank you, Sal. Good reminder there on the program.
QB1.
Davion Singleton, hey, don't knock it until you at least throw him out there a couple snaps. 915-505-6009 as we wind it down. UTEP overtime victory against Middle Tennessee, 83-80. We'll get to our fantasy stats in just a bit. Western Kentucky, we talked about them briefly, 9-6. They're 2-2 in conference play after dropping one tonight against New Mexico State. In this game here, in this matchup for Western Kentucky, their leading scorer in this one was Armello Boone, who had 13 points in this matchup. He didn't make a three-pointer. He struggled, and the rest of the team struggled in a big way for Western Kentucky. They're a bit up and down this year. They're nothing too special. They really feast on things like turnover percentage on offense, the way that they're able to value the basketball and not really turn the ball over. They also don't shoot the ball particularly well on either from the perimeter or even from two-point attempts, but they get to the free throw line a big way. So fouls and you know, trying to keep guys out of foul trouble is going to be a big key for the Miners come Saturday. UTEP is projected to lose by KenPom right now. Give me the victory. I'm going to pick UTEP in this matchup right here. Any thoughts or any predictions from either of you guys? I'm going to take UTEP in an afternoon game. And even if they split this weekend, I think it's a plus and step in the right direction for UTEP.
Oh, man, it's hard, but man, I think I'll go with Western Kentucky.
Okay.
This is a team who can score when they can score, right? 102 points. Granted, they gave up 91, but they've scored 100 a couple of times, 90s a couple times against solid teams like South Florida, dropping 91 against them, 95 against Tennessee State. This is all earlier in the year, don't get me wrong, but their offense can get clicking. I just don't know if UTEP will have the firepower.
Okay, that's fair. Zay, any thoughts?
I'm glad Sal went with Western Kentucky, because it couldn't be a clean sweep, because you know I'm going with the Miners. I said it earlier. Just got to roll with your cards, you know. If LA Hayes can put up stats like that and not even be efficient from the field, like he's gonna take the shots, he's gonna be aggressive, some of them are gonna fall, and if he can affect the game in those ways as well, and you know, I think they get the win closely. It's gonna be another close game, and they're gonna have to play mistake-free basketball, which we don't see a lot from UTEP, but I got the Miners. Give me UTEP.
Okay, so let's see what happens. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a big one come Saturday at 2 o'clock. Give us our fantasy updates, Zay, and where we stack up. You, me, and Chris Collins, who's disappeared with us from Inspo Lens. He'll be back. Inspo Lens and us, we will be live coming up soon enough. But you tell us, what's the latest in the fantasy world?
You know, having L.A. Hayes on your team, which Chris does, it's the equivalent of It's like a waiver. You're in a waiver wire, you know, picking up some guy. You're just scrolling. It's like Chris got a waiver wire because L.A. Hayes had not played. He really didn't put up any points, fantasy points-wise. The whole season, really, comes in today. 10 points, 10 rebounds, 10 rebounds, 3 steals. He had an amazing game. Chris, his team right now, the big, big win.
Wow, they're, number one.
They're not number one, but they're close. They're closing. Okay. So here are the official stats. Number one, it's still, well, from this game, Chris did win. He had 75 points. Sal had 36 points. 39 with Mbe, 36 with Hernandez, because they both played today. I had 30 points. Adrian, you had 20.
Wow. What a drop off. It's pretty much over for my team. I'm cool with it. It's been a good run. And now I'm just going to be rooting against you guys to see who also joins me in last place. But yeah, Tyrese Watson out for the year. Kills me. So there you go. Let's pause quickly 10 seconds for station identification, then we'll wrap it up next. You're listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Closing segments here on the program, 915-505-6009, our telephone number here on the program, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Guys, this is going to wrap us up here on the program tonight, and a big win for UTEP, getting it done, 83-80 over Middle Tennessee. We'll be back in action Saturday. It's our 1:30 countdown to tip-off show, 2 o'clock the game gets underway, UTEP taking on Western Kentucky, and then of course we'll have Minor Talk after the game as well. You might have a distracted Adrian brought us because the Los Angeles Rams play that day as well, but nonetheless we will be back in action, and it is a 2 o'clock game, and we'll be having all the coverage for you right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. So for our pal Zay Galindo, for our pal Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We are done here tonight, and we'll be back in action Saturday for another edition of Minor Talk here presented by Jack in the Box on 600 ESPN El Paso.